Please remain standing for the scripture lesson this morning. The scripture lesson comes from the New Century Version of the Bible, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Let us hear the word of God with our ears, our minds, and our hearts. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. Gracious God, we thank you for the great people who are known because of their faith. Throughout Scripture, we see great accounts of people who believed in you, Father God, and you used them to change the world. There have been people in history, throughout history, that you have used who had great faith to change the world. People here at this church who have great faith that you're using to change the world. And Father God, I pray that all of us today would realize that you have a great story for every one of us. And we would be open to the work of your Spirit in us today. Give us ears to hear and a heart that is open to believe. Eyes to see what seems impossible. May all this happen for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, when I was a little boy growing up in Kentucky, I loved the stories about Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. I'm dating myself there, right? Not quite that old, but you hear about those two guys fighting grizzly bears with a Bowie knife, right? I never thought I'd be doing that until I became a pastor, but I'm sorry, y'all didn't get that right. But just grizzlies, how about that? Not bears, but or foreign invaders at the Alamo. I dreamed of climbing mountains and exploring new frontiers. I wanted to live a great adventure. How many of you, as a child, had those kinds of dreams? You want to go conquer something. You want to go do something great, a life worth telling. Now, as a grandfather now, I get to read my granddaughter stories called Pinkalicious. I don't know. I just can't get into Pinkalicious, you know? I need some Daniel Boone stories. But as I watch her watch some of those Disney shows and animations about princesses, and I see the sparkle in her eye, and I know that one day she wants to be a princess. And I tell her that, hey, one day, or I even tell her now, you're a princess. Because I want her to have a great story. I want her to live a great story. I want you to live a great story. Don't we all want to live a great story? Don't you love a great story? You know, we could break out now, and I could get done and just say, how about let's just tell some great stories. Now, some of you would do it. You could just tell story after story after story. And some of you are better at stories than others. Let me just say that. Some of them, you know, you really can tell a good story. I heard a good story Friday morning at men's prayer breakfast. Ralph Mayer came up to me before the men's prayer breakfast and said, hey, can I say a word at the end of the prayer breakfast? I got a story. I said, okay. So we get done praying, and Ralph stands up like a proud father and says, you know, there's going to be this football game on Monday night out there in Arizona, a national championship game. And my son, Major Matt Mayer, is going to be leading the F-35 flyover. A boy from Lexington is going to be leading that jets as they fly over the stadium. He says, you know, there's going to be a youth choir singing God Bless America. And right on cue, they're going to get a cue, and they're going to come flying over. He said, that's my boy. And they're going to interview him on ESPN at halftime of the show. Isn't that a great story? Don't you wish you had a great story? Everybody seems to have all these good stories. I need a good story. I believe God has put a good story in every one of us. In creation, we read about that you and I are made in the image of God. And when God breathed his Holy Spirit into you, I believed he breathed a good story into you. a story worth telling, a life worth living, a life of a legacy, a life that will be remembered. If you've heard me speak here enough, you've heard me mention one of my favorite verses, John 10:10, where Jesus said from the Message version, today I've used about every version of this verse possible, but Peterson writes it this way, Jesus speaking, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More and better life than you ever dreamed of. A better story than you ever dreamed of. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to give you a story, a better life than you ever dreamed was possible. Now, if you read this verse, John 10:10, we often leave out the first part of the verse. In the first part of the verse, Jesus says, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so they may have life, real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. You see, as we get into this sermon series, get into 2016, there's an evil presence in our world that doesn't want you to live a better story. There's an evil presence that wants to steal your story, wants to kill your story, wants to destroy your story. And so if you decide, hey, I want this, I want a better story, know that you're going to encounter opposition. So I'm realizing that as we preach this sermon series, there's going to be spiritual warfare taking place right in this room. Because God wants you to live a better story, but there's a thief that wants to kill, steal, and destroy your story. There are some here who need to face some fears, need to face some issues that are keeping you from living a better story. And there's an evil presence that's trying to say, you don't need to deal with that, that's okay. No big deal. But you know you got to get rid of some of that stuff in your life in order to live a better story. I don't know what it is, whether it's a situation, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an addiction, where it's people, whether it's circumstances. But something is trying to steal your story that God made you to live. God put you on this planet to make a difference. But there's something that's keeping you from doing that. Now, can you think for just a minute of that person that God brought into your life somewhere in your history that showed you how to live a better story? That godly person that said, man, if I could just live like that person, it'd be wonderful. And I began to recollect about stories in my life and people that made an impact, and literally hundreds of people that God has allowed to come into my life that helped show me how to live a better story, a better life. Now, I thought about Miss Luella Fannin, and some of you maybe heard me talk about Miss Luella. She was 63 years old, wore a back brace, and I just become a Christian. I was 14 years old. My little Methodist church that my grandfather went to, Advanced United Methodist Church, Miss Luella, who had never done any kind of youth work before, gets this idea, this vision about a better story. Now, she's going to start a youth prayer breakfast in this little church. And so I got a phone call from her and says, will you come to my prayer breakfast at 6:30 on Tuesday mornings before school? I didn't know what to say. So I said yes. And that first Tuesday morning, 7 of us showed up. I'll never forget, Miss Luella would cut out the little thoughts for the day of the upper room. If you read the upper room, there's a little thought for the day. She would cut those out and have a little thought for the day beside each of our plates. And she would tell us, now take that, that's your thought for the day, take that. And I found out it's much better than a fortune cookie, you know. It's a thought for the day. And I'd remember that little thought throughout the day. Well, the neat part of that story for Miss Luella is that ministry grew to about 60-plus youth would show up. And out of those 60-some youth that came, 7 of us became full-time pastors. Isn't it amazing? A woman who had a vision, who had a dream, had no training, no background, but God used her to do a really neat thing. You see, Miss Fannin had a faith and an imagination to see what other people couldn't see. And for you to have a great story, you're going to need both of those things. You're going to need faith, and you're going to need imagination. Hebrews 11 says, faith is a confident or certain hope in what we cannot see. When we cannot see something, we need imagination. And God gave you imagination. God wants you to use your imagination to see what he wants you to do and where he wants you to go. Don't you love to look in the eyes of children and just see the imagination running crazy? Again, my granddaughter believes that everything's a tent. We got tents all over. You know, every throw rug is meant to be every throw or Afghan or quilt is supposed to be a tent. And on top of that, she expects me to get in all those tents, you know? What's the problem, J. Paul? You know, you can do that. You know, Hebrews 11 is, the chapter is full of stories of men and women who use their imagination to do what God called them to do. How about Abraham? I was reading a devotion this week about Abraham. Abraham, 90 years old. We got anybody here today 90 years old? You're not going to raise your hand, are you? I'm not raising my hand 90 years old. But we probably got a couple people either 90 or approaching 90. Abraham, 90 years old. And God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a nation. He didn't have a kid. Now, talk about some imagination, right? What did God tell Abraham to do? He said, I want you to go outside at night and look up at the stars and see, that's going to be your descendants. Now, does that take some imagination when you're 90 and you don't even have a child to see that those stars are going to represent your descendants? I love what Paul wrote in his letter to Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, so we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze, say with me, fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Things that cannot be seen. A better story is going to take faith and imagination to see things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I love a good story. I was talking to Dr. Matt Clary last week, and if you know, some of you know Matt. Matt's a young man who's a very strong Christian. He's an eye doctor that he does eye surgery, whatever that's called. And his practice did surgery on my eyes about 10 years ago. So he's now my new doctor. Dr. Milne was my doctor, a man of great faith who passed on. And so I was talking to Matt about this message I'm going to be doing. I had a staff retreat on Monday, and we talked about having eyes with vision and imagination. I said, you got any good stories for me, you know, that I can use? You know, as an eye doctor, surely you've seen some things that you could help me with. And, you know, Matt's this kind of guy that prays with all of his patients. You go see him, he's going to pray for you before he does anything. That's my kind of doctor. And he was telling me, he said, I got a story. Let me tell you this story. He says, I got a colleague who had a friend who's a missionary. And this missionary serving Ethiopia, doing amazing work in Ethiopia, just turning people's lives around in Ethiopia for the gospel. Great stuff, great story. And he had a detached retina, I believe, and he said he needed to come to the States for some surgery. So he comes to my colleague and has this surgery done, but some complications later on developed, and he says after you have this kind of surgery, you develop a cataract. And so they called me and said, hey, can you take care of this problem so he can get back to Ethiopia? So Matt says, sure. So he brings the guy in, and the missionary, and prays with him and gets ready to do the surgery. And as he gets ready to do the surgery and he's looking into the guy's eye, he sees a lot more damage there. In fact, it's, as he described it, the fibers of the eye were beginning to unravel, and it was going to be a really serious problem, and maybe the guy would not recover his sight. And he prayed, and he turned to his nurse and said, I'm going to need some different instruments because this is totally different than what I thought it was going to be. And he reaches for his instruments, and he turns back around and looks at the guy, and the eye is healed. The eye is the damage is no longer there. And Matt says, I could not believe it. It was amazing to see that happen. And so he does the other repair and, you know, all finished up. And he's talking to the missionary, and he says, you know, the missionary says, I've got to go to New York now, and I got to raise some more funds for Ethiopia so we can go change people's lives. And Matt says, I got a story you could tell him. Let me tell you what happened to you in surgery, what God did to your eye. And then the missionary goes to New York and tells the story and again raises more than enough support to go and help change the world in Ethiopia. Don't you love a good story like that? I'm telling you that you don't have to wonder why you can't have a good story. God wants to give you a good story. He wants you to trust him and walk with him and see things that you can't even see right now and see what's possible with God. And getting ready for this sermon series, reading some books. Nick's going to talk about a good book he had us read next week when he preaches. And I read a book by Bill Blankenship. And he talks about that there's three options for your faith. And one of the reasons that you and I may struggle with having a good story is the direction of our faith. He says there's three ways you can take your faith. The first is you can have faith in yourself, that you can believe that you can write your own story yourself, and that I don't need God in my life. I don't need God in my marriage. I don't need God in I can do this myself. I don't need God. I can write a good story myself. And so you go under that way. It's kind of like the Frank Sinatra mantra, right? I'm going to do it my way. We'll do it my way. And so you believe that you can write your own story. And you believe that God exists. Yeah, I believe in God, but he's a small God. And he needs to conform to my story. How many times do we try to put faith in ourselves and get God to fit our story? Well, God, this is what I want to do with my life. And wherever you want to get involved is okay, but this is what I'm going to do with my life. So you can have faith in yourself. Secondly, you can have faith in others. You can realize, hey, I just can't do this very well. I'm not qualified. And so I'm going to get others to help me write my story. My faith is going to be in others. And you trust people's opinions. And you seek people's advice. And how do I write a better story? And they seem to be smart. They seem to have it all together. Maybe they can show me how to write a better story. And so you put your faith in others. And we have a world today that puts its faith in the culture. If I can just have this, if I can just have all this stuff and what they have, I could have a good story. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you went out and bought a lottery ticket? What is it, $900 million? Is that what it is, $900 million? Is it more than that now? I don't know. Anyway. With that said, how many of you say, if I just had $900 million, I could have a really good story. I could have a better story of $900 million. I mean, I could do it. And I know what you've already said, as you bought the lottery ticket, you said, and Lord, you know I'm going to give half of this to the church. You know that, right? You know, and the church ain't going to have no more building debt. I'm going to cover it. I got it, Lord. Bless this ticket, you know? You've read the stories of the majority of people that have won lotteries, and how has it turned out for them? Not good. Because others can't give you a better story. I was talking to some people in a Bible study that I was leading, and they had been several of those large lotteries, and they said, you know, I've been praying for God to help me win the lottery because I'm going to give it a lot of it to the church. And I said, how's that working for you? Well, I haven't won yet. And I said, well, maybe God doesn't believe you. Anyway, don't put your faith in others. The third option is who? Is God. The God who revealed himself in the Old and New Testament, the God who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the God who is the creator of this world, the God who can change your life, the God who will give you a purpose in life. You know, I want you to hear this. The focus of your faith determines the direction of your story. The focus of your faith determines the direction of your story. And we want to call you and invite you to put your focus of your faith on God. To seek his face and to put your faith in him. Now, understand that as you put your faith in God and your focus is in God, it's not going to be easy. You're going to still struggle to see. And one of the things that I talked to Dr. Clary about is our eyes. And I talked this about our staff. And as we look to the future and look with eyes of imagination, is sometimes we look at the challenges of our lives and we look at our challenges in our life through eyes of fear. There are people here today who are scared to death to put their faith in God. I can do this. I don't need God. If I do this, I'll be okay. Eyes of fear. You know, eyes of fear overestimate the challenge, overestimate the opportunity, and don't see what God can do. And that leads usually to discouragement. I love this definition of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Say that with me. False evidence appearing real is the basis of fear. And again, we live in this world where there's an evil presence that gives all kinds of propaganda why you can't be who you want to be, why you can't do what God is calling you to do. Fear. False evidence appearing real. I would say that we don't need eyes of fear. We need eyes of faith. Eyes to see what God sees. Eyes of faith that are based on the reality of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. How do you get faith? How do you get eyes of faith? You may want some eyes of faith. It's real simple. It really is. Romans 10:17, Paul said it this way. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. Eyes of faith comes from when you hear and read and study and learn and imitate who Jesus Christ is. He's a source of faith. I can't muster up faith. Faith comes when I focus my eyes on who God is in Jesus Christ. Eyes of faith help us see that everything is possible with God. Eyes of faith empower us to see things bigger than any problem or challenge, that God is bigger. Eyes of faith opens the door for miracles. The disciples were struggling about trying to heal someone, and Jesus said these words to them that Matthew records in Matthew 17. Jesus said, you don't have enough faith. Has God ever said that to you? Has God ever whispered in your ear, you know, you just don't have enough faith? You just don't believe. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now, as far as we can tell in Scripture, Jesus never physically moved a mountain. But he says, if you have enough faith, you can move a mountain. Now, why didn't Jesus move a mountain? I don't know. Maybe because he never saw a mountain. There was never an obstacle that was too great that he didn't believe he could overcome with God's help. There is no mountain that's too large that with God's help, you can't overcome it. I can do all things, Paul said, through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. All things through Christ who gives me strength. So as we move through this sermon series, I want to give you some steps to take. I want you to stop waiting and start writing. Stop waiting for a better story and start writing. Start living a better story. Four things, real quickly. Number one is step out of your comfort zone. In order to write a better story, to live a better story, you got to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to be challenging to do something you've never done before. All the great stories of the Bible are men and women who face challenges and pain. Step out and do something for God that you've never done before. And let me tell you, if you step out with God and do something you've never done before, you may end up in a messy situation. Because that's where God operates. He operates when things are rough and tough. That's where lost people are at. He challenges us to minister to people who are in trouble. So step out of your comfort zone. Do something you've never done before. Number two, step out of your failures. J.M. Barrie wrote a quote, says, we are all failures. At least the best of us are. The Bible says it this way, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have messed up. But you know what? God wants to use your brokenness and your failures to help somebody who's failing and who's breaking right now. He wants to use your brokenness and your failures to help someone who is failing right now and who's breaking right now. There are people right now that the evil presence in this world is saying to you that because you've messed up, you can't have a better story. That you're doomed to have a bad story because of your failure. That's not what God says. God says he will take you and make you a new person. He will take your failures and forgive them. And not just forgive them, he'll forget them. Isn't that amazing that God forgets our failures? We have a hard time forgetting our failures. But God forgets our failures. And he forgives them. And he then wants to use your experiences to help other people who are failing. Other people who are breaking. But you got to step out. I want you to know that today is not too late for you. It is not too late for you. No matter what you feel like you've done, it's not too late for you. God wants to give you a better story. In fact, if you read the Bible, God used men and women who had all kinds of failure to do great things and change the world. God wants to use you to change the world. And then thirdly, you got to step out of your story and into the story of God. God is writing his story across history, and he wants you to join him in his story. Now, when you step into God's story, you better hold on. You better hold on, because he will change you for the better. Now, let me just say this. If you are truly involved in God's story and you want a better story and you want to focus your faith on God, the story is always going to involve the church. Because that's where God works at. He works through his people. Now, it could be Mount Horeb. It could be another church across town. It could be a church in this state somewhere. It could be a church in Ethiopia, wherever it might be. But it's always going to involve his church. This is the body of Christ, the church. And God's story for you will always involve the church. I love to read the book of Acts about the birth of the church. Great stories of faith, great stories of boldness, great stories of courage, great stories of miracles, great stories of phenomenal growth. And I just want to testify, and I believe that God is writing a good story right here. Can I get a second to that? God is writing a good story at Mount Horeb. It's a good story of what God is doing in this place. It's not a story about Mount Horeb. It's a story about what God is doing in this place. And the story of Mount Horeb involves so many people, so many stories of people who stepped out in great faith and imagination to make today possible. Today would not be possible if people had not stepped out with great faith and great imagination to see what God could do. And literally, I could talk about hundreds of stories of men and women and young people who stepped out and imagined what is possible. I remember as a pastor 21 years ago and getting here in this place up on the corner, which was our sanctuary, then became a youth room, and the Lord willing is going to become a chapel one day in the near future. But I remember Miss Maddie George, who had a heart for missions. She loved missions, and she always wanted to be a missionary, but her health wouldn't allow her to be a missionary, but she had this passion for missions. She wanted to be a part of a church that had a mission focus, outreach. At that time, our missions budget was about $250, and that was a struggle. And Miss Maddie kept praying and kept believing. And Miss Maddie's in heaven now with Miss Luella. But last year, this church gave away close to $1 million in missions. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because Miss Maddie George had a vision, had a dream that could happen. So many sacrifices were made to build this building you're in right now. People came together at this little church on the corner and said, we believe God wants to do something bigger, something better. And so people stepped out. I remember we were building this and we didn't have enough funds to have an organ or an incredible grand piano. And people showed up and said, hey, we'll make that happen so we can have better music at the church. And lo and behold, I got a text from someone on Friday that said, hey, we've got this baby grand piano that in our house we need to get rid of. You think you can use it in the new building? I said, we're just talking about that. We need one of those things over there. And he says, God doesn't work in mysterious ways, does he? Sometimes we say God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he doesn't work in mysterious ways at all. He just wants us to imagine what is possible when we step out in faith. We have so many ministries. I know we had one Bible school here, one session of Bible school in the evenings, and that's what I thought was the best time to do Bible school. I was a senior pastor. I was the pastor in charge. We're going to do Bible school in the evening. And somebody said, we got a better way to do that. And they said, let's do Bible school in the morning. And I said, no, we can't do that. It's not the way we do things. Sometimes we don't get a better story because we say that's not the way we do things. And they insisted, and we said, let's pray. But anyway, long story short, you know the story, is we did both. And then we added a third session. And Bible school has impacted this community in ways that nobody ever thought possible. Great stories of faith. Stories of an after-school program that is impacting the lives of children right across the street from our church or right down the road from our church. How impactful is that ministry is that people have stepped up and made some significant contributions to take our ministry to people in the community to a whole other level, ways that we never thought was possible. Stories of hundreds of men and women who have come into this place with broken hearts and broken lives, and God has healed them and brought them health and wholeness and life and forgiveness. But the next part of Mount Horeb's story is just beginning, is it not? It's just beginning. Tonight we're opening up a grand opening for a whole new facility for youth ministry. And in a few months, we'll be opening up a whole new part of our church over there. And guess what? We're going to need you to help write a better story. We're going to need more and more people like Miss Luella Fannin. Are you wearing a back brace? God can still use you to have a better story. We're going to need more youth counselors than we ever thought we would need. We're going to need more volunteers for children's ministry. We're going to need more mentors for after-school program. We're going to need more greeters. We're going to need more people in the parking lot. Can I get a shout-out to the people in the parking lot? Right. It seems like for the last 6 months, they've been in a parking lot. It's been raining. You know, they're out there in raincoats and out there. They were able to squeeze enough cars in the parking lot. Anybody have a hard time finding a parking place this morning? You know, yeah, our building committee, one of our building committee chairs said this morning, we need to build another parking lot. I said, I think we're doing that. You know, but they're out there in the rain. They squeeze over 4,000 people in here on Christmas Eve. I don't know how they did that. But they squeeze people in the parking lot. We need more of those people. We need more greeters. We need more people serving coffee and cookies, etc. There's a new ministry that, a ministry, not a new ministry, but the ministry that the annual conference is sponsoring. I mentioned it on Christmas Eve, a ministry called No More Malaria. We're going to be a part of that as a church to help raise funds to help wipe out malaria in a part of the world where malaria kills children that are 2 and 3 and 4 years old. On Christmas Eve, you gave over $8,000 to that ministry, you know, to make an impact, and we want to continue to do that. And then one last step for you. You know, you need to step out of your comfort zone. You need to step out of your failures. You need to step into the story of God. And fourthly, you need to step out first. Will you step out first? Will you be a leader and not a follower? Will you be first in your family to start writing a better story? That's what happened to me. I was 14. I was the first person in my family to become a believer. And I started writing a better story with God's help. And maybe you are the only one in your family that'll be writing a better story. Maybe you need to be the spouse that starts writing a better story for your marriage. You've been saying, well, if he'll ever get it together or she'll ever get it together, we'll have a better story. Maybe you need to start having a better story. Maybe you need to be the one at work that starts writing a better story. All those coworkers that you complain about, maybe God's calling you to write a better story. Maybe at the tailgating event, you could be the one to write a better story. Maybe at the party that you attend, you can be the one to write a better story. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, write a better story. There have been so many ministries here in this church that have started because somebody stepped out first. They didn't wait for someone else to start it. They started it. You know, flood relief here has been a wonderful outreach of our church, and we didn't wait. You know, we're part of the annual conference, and the annual conference has steps we're supposed to follow, and we tried to follow some of the steps, but it just were too many steps to follow, so we just went ahead and did it. I got a couple emails. What are y'all doing over there? Well, we're just doing flood relief. To date, we've already repaired 6 homes, I believe, because somebody stepped up and did it. If you get a chance to see Wade McGuinn, he's led a charge on that, and volunteers from around the country and other places to help put people back in their homes. Didn't wait. Let's do it now. We got to do it now. Stepped up, stepped out. Got another guy in the church. His name is Chris, and Chris has a rental house, and it was coming open. He says, hey, can you use my rental house at the church, and you can put some of these flood families in my house and let them stay there. There wasn't any furniture in the house, so we had to find some furniture and put in his house. And then we had volunteers stayed in his house that did flood relief from around the country. And then that's kind of faded, and Chris said to us a couple weeks ago, says, hey, you can still use this house, and surely there's a family that is down on their luck that needs a place to stay. And so Chris made his house available, and in the condition that the people that lived there, he would charge them $200 a month for rent, and that they had to come to counseling at the church for financial peace and how to get financially things back on track so they get their life back together. And what they don't know is at the end of 6 months or the end of the year or whatever it is, whenever they're in the house, he's going to give all that back to them as seed money to what? Write a better story. See, God is calling people like you to write a better story. I don't know what God's going to use you to do, but will you have eyes to see what God can see? Eyes to imagine what God can do? God wants you to write a better story. He wants you to live a life worth telling. Not a lie, but a life worth telling. Gracious God, I thank you that you've been with us here today. And I pray for that person right now who feels like they can't write a better story. That there's too much water under the bridge, too many things have happened, I've messed up so much. Lord, I pray that right now your grace would reach down and touch that person's heart and mind, and they would receive your forgiveness, and and a new beginning. They become a new person right now. Right now in this moment, become a new person in Jesus Christ. And they would see that, hey, I can do something good. I can do something better. I pray for a marriage right now in this room that needs a better marriage. And that one or both of the spouses would say, I'm going to start writing a better story. Maybe it's a child here that needs to reconnect with a parent, or a parent that needs to reconnect with a child. We all know people that we love deeply, that we're praying for them a better story. So Lord, now as we have this time of closing, may we just think about those situations. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to come to this altar to pray, and someone to pray for someone for a better story, I Lord, lead them here. Someone needs to come and talk to one of us here, that you would lead them here, so that today can be the beginning of a new story, a brand new start, a new page. I know that that's possible because of your grace and your love. Give us eyes of faith and take away our eyes of fear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We're going to sing a great closing song called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A great story. Would you stand? Would you worship? And this altar is open for anyone who wants to come and pray.